Sometimes when the Lord gives you a thought, I learned a long time ago to carry a pen with you everywhere you go. Now we got phones, we can just put it in our notes in our iPhone or whatever kind of phone you got. But I was reading through this and the Lord gave me a thought and I was like, man, I'm going to, if the Lord will let me, build a message off of that. And I have done that and I hope it's as much a blessing to you as it has been to me. This is something that's very near and dear to my heart. You know, we live in a day and age where people are in need of people. Y'all all right with what I'm saying here? There's people all around us that are hurting and that need a friend. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Yeah, you ever met someone who just felt like they were worthless? They felt like nobody cared about them. All was lost. I listened to some testimonies this last Wednesday. We were at a church up in West Virginia, and this young lady she lives at the local mission there, and they have a bus route that goes to the mission and picks up probably 8 or 10 adults from the mission that live there. And this lady had recently been saved about a month ago and baptized about 2 weeks ago, and she stood up and gave a testimony about how her mother had passed away 15 years prior and how she was pretty angry at the Lord and just kind of felt like all was lost, didn't really have a reason for living until she met Jesus. But you know what I'm thankful for? Jesus uses people like you and I to reach into people's lives like that. And I'm thankful this morning that the Lord has given me this, and I'm excited to preach it, and I hope I can do my due diligence to the Lord for giving me this to you. But this is for you this morning. And listen, if you feel like, and you don't need to raise your hand or feel bad, if you feel like that in your mind all is lost, you're not worth much, look, let me just start by saying this. You're not alone. Okay, but let me tell you something. You are worth a lot more than what you realize. And I'm going to try to help you understand that through the Bible this morning and what the Lord showed me. And what really the Lord has shown me in my own personal life, because if we'd be honest, we've probably all been in a point in our life where we've just kind of been pretty low. Feel like, you know, things just aren't going the way we think they should. What's the reason for living? But here's what you got to realize. We wrestle not against what? You know, our enemy is the devil. The devil can convince you that you're not worth much, but God said, you know, with him you're worth a lot. You're worth everything. So the book of John chapter number 6 this morning, we'll start in verse number 11. Continuing the story from last week, we preached on the 5,000 and giving God what we had and what God could do with it. Verse 11 says this, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples," here's the thought that the Lord gave me, "gather up the," what's the next word? Fragments. You know, I've read this story hundreds of times. That's not exaggerating. You probably have too, but it's almost like these words, "gather up the fragments," jumped off the page and just kind of slapped me around a little bit, brother. Gather up the fragments. You say, what is so important about a fragment? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's what I was asking. Just show me. Well, if Jesus cared about the fragments, hey, we should care about the fragments. And no, we're not talking about the fragments you leave on your plate when you're done eating. We're talking about individuals who kind of are overlooked, kind of not so on the same class as maybe the rest of the world in our eyes. But Jesus said, gather up the fragments that remain, that none or nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments. You think the fragments aren't worth much? Well, they were worth a lot. They gathered up the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, for the fragments in this world. Lord, I'm one of them, and I'm so thankful, God, you cared about me, and God, you took me in, and you used a man and women in my life, God, to gather me up and show me that I was worth something through you. Lord, no matter how I feel in my own mind, God, our battle, Lord, is not against flesh and blood, but Lord, it's with the devil, and Lord, we got to battle every single day. I'm so thankful that somebody cared about this fragment. Now, God, help us this morning, God, if there's someone in here that may feel like they're just a fragment, not worth much. Other people are being used and no one can use them. God, that's not true. And Lord, I just pray, God, this morning, Holy Spirit, you'll reach down and touch the very heart of the one who thinks that. Thank you for your word, for your truth, God. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit this morning. Bless us now in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. So what is the importance of the fragments? What is a fragment? A fragment is simply this, a small part broken or separated off something. I wonder why Jesus thought the fragments were so important. Well, I begin to think if a fragment is a small part broken or separated from something, I begin to think of people's life story and my own life story. You know, growing up, things didn't really go the way I desired for them to go as a little boy. I was in a broken home. I had very good grandparents that raised me. Godly grandma, godly grandpa made me go to church. But look, it didn't change the fact that my home was broken. I did not have my mother and my father every day like I desired in my heart. I became very bitter at God later in life, not realizing that I was becoming bitter. And look, that's the game the devil will play with you. He will play a game with your mind, get you to a place where you don't even realize you are going because you are battling the wrong people. People are not your enemy. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. So is there any human being that could possibly be my enemy? Absolutely not. So growing up, I began to think, you know, I'm just broken. I'm not worth much. And the devil would put thoughts in my mind like this. If your own dad and your own mom and your own family were to separate and not come around like you think, what do you really think you're going to be worth to anybody else? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many men and women are sitting in here right now that have had that very thought. You know what you are? You're just a fragment. But lucky for you, and lucky for me, Jesus said, gather the fragments that remain. He saw some worth in this broken vessel. Aren't you thankful God uses broken things? I'm so thankful God looked down and saw the heart of a little boy, and at 7 years old began to convict my heart unto salvation. And it wasn't until I was 9 and a half that I answered the call of the Holy Ghost and got John 3:3, born again. And all God's people said, amen. Listen, I'm thankful I'm still born again. Amen. I don't have to do it again. I did it once and that was enough. I'm thankful I got born again. Now, I didn't live the way I should have lived through my teenage years. I've done some things that I regret and that I'm sorry for, but I can't take that back. But I remember the day that God called me to preach sitting at a youth camp in Sterling, Alaska. Brother Dave Duffett was preaching, and I looked and I was like, man, I sure think I wish I could do something like that. And God said, oh son, you can, and I want you to. But God, I'm just a fragment. I'm not worth much. God said, you're right. But with me, you're worth everything. Let me help you. Let me help you. And I remember the day that I said, okay, God, I'm giving this up. And here's the thing. I didn't give everything up at first, Brother Scott. I gave up what I thought was good enough to give up. And for the next few years, I began to try to live my life unto God, but still holding on to things that really mattered to my flesh. Things that I would put into my body that my body did not need, nor and it was not good for it. Things that I would put into my ears, music that did not honor God. And listen, if that's you this morning, if you are holding on to that sin, which and it is sin. It is sin. If it so easily besets you and you're holding on to it as a stronghold, people say, well, why'd you hold on to that, Brother Drew? Well, I held on to it because I relied upon it. And you say, well, why is that so bad? Because I was relying on something material-wise, something that appealed to my flesh, more than relying on Jesus Christ. That's when it became a sin. Why'd you listen to that music? Because it made me feel good. It made me feel better. It made me feel sad. Why on earth would I want to listen to something to make me feel sad and give me bad memories? Why? Hey, I'm just going to throw this at you. I'm not going to preach on your music this morning. I will one day. So come back. Stay tuned. Look, if your music does not honor your God, stop listening to it. Stop. What's the point? Because if it's not honoring Him, who's it honoring? The devil. Well, how do I know if it's bad? If it ain't honoring God, it's honoring the devil. Y'all with me? I told you I'm not going to preach on that this morning. I wonder why Jesus thought the fragments were so important. The job had been completed, had it not? Jesus had taken the bread, he'd taken the fish, he had given thanks to the Father. The 5,000 men were no longer hungry. They were fed until their hearts were full and their bellies were full. The job had been done. Why did Jesus worry about the fragments? You know, Jesus is not in the wasting business. Everybody all right with that? How many of y'all growing up, your mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, whoever raised you, wouldn't let you get up from the table until your plate was cleaned? I had grandparents like that. I remember times where if I didn't want to clean my plate, she'd simply just wrap it with tin foil and put it in the fridge. And that's what I would eat the next morning if I was hungry. And she always said, if you're hungry, you'll... And she meant it. Y'all know we are spoiling our children today. Y'all know what I'm saying? And we're guilty. Amen? We all are. Because they're just precious little babies and they should just be able to choose what they want. It wasn't like that for me. And I feel like I turned out all right. I mean, look at me. I'm a pretty healthy dude. Y'all ain't supposed to laugh at that. That was not a joke. That was reality. You're still laughing. The people were fed. The job had been completed. The disciples were fed. Everyone was full and overflowing, but Jesus was concerned about the fragments. He was concerned that nothing be lost or left behind. Maybe today you are a small part of something that used to be big. Maybe today you feel like an outcast, or maybe you feel like you're not worth much. And I can't help but think, a crowd this size, somebody in here is thinking just that. You showed up today thinking, God, I'm going to go to church, but questioning the whole time, why am I even here? Why do I still exist? Listen, if God has granted you the ability to breathe His air, He has a purpose for you. I don't care if you're 9 years old or 90 years old. God still has a purpose for you if you are here. When He's done with you, your appointment with death will come, and it is coming. It is appointed unto man once to die. And then your appointment with the judgment is coming. But while you are here, listen to me. God has you here for a reason. You are not a waste of air. You are not a waste of space. You are not an outcast. You are worth something. God has big plans for your life. You must start seeking, why, God, do you still have me here? Just like the fragments of food, God is concerned about you. Don't ever think that you are a nobody. Don't ever let someone tell you you're not worth something. Because guess what? My Bible says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made in the likeness and image of Jesus Christ, and He was worth everything. That's who we are. We're saved. We're seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors. The Bible says we are more than conquerors. We are victorious in everything. But oh, how many of us fall to victim instead of victorious. How easy is it to fall into a victim mentality versus living a victorious Christian life that God has desired for you? It's easy when you're fighting the wrong enemy. The devil would have us believe that we are worth nothing. By the way, if you ever get that thought, where's it coming from? If God fearfully and wonderfully made you, would He counteract what He just did and say you're worth nothing? For him to think that would mean he made a terrible mistake. But that's just simply not true. God loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son Jesus to die for your wrong, for your sin. That's who you really are. He does care about the fragments in this world. He does. We're just broken, worthless vessels that can never be used and of no importance. That's a lie. That is just simply not true. Jesus is concerned about our lives. So what is so important about these fragments? Can I say this? Fragments introduce reusability. Everybody understand what that means? If you'll let God take what's broken and battered and torn and a wreck and a mess and vile and ugly and wicked and nasty, and you'll say, God, take me, use me in whatever manner you want me to be used. Hey, He'll take you from a fragment and make you whole again. Y'all with me? God cares about you. If you consider yourself a fragment this morning, I'm not of any importance, Brother Drew. Yes, you are. And God wants to help you. And God cares about you. Hey, if He cared about the fragments of bread and fish, don't you think He cares about your life? Don't you think He cares about your soul that's never dying, that's going to spend eternity somewhere in a devil's hell that was created for the devil and the third of his angels that followed him after he wanted to be like God, or will spend eternity with Jesus Christ forever in eternity in heaven? Can I say fragments introduce reusability? Can I say this again? Aren't you glad God uses broken things? Here's the reality. We're all broken. We're all broken. When you're without Christ, you're broken. You're a mess. The moment you believe that you are nothing is the moment the devil has you right where he wants you. But the moment you realize you are just a fragment and you can be used by God in heaven, God has you right where he wants you. Realize, hey, yes, I am just a fragment, but God, with you, I can be everything. He does not want your life, your talents, your treasure, your time to go to waste. He wants to use every bit of you. Every single one of us have gifts that others do not. Would everybody agree with that? We all have talents that we're good at. Some may not have the same talent as you, but that's okay. You don't have their talent either. And God put all those talents into work. And man, when they all work for the good and the honor of Jesus Christ, it all comes together. And this little five-letter word that starts with a U, it's unity, happens. And then God prospers everywhere. And the devil has no leg to stand on. But you know what happens is we got to get to a moment where we're like, hey, I'm just a broken fragment. I'm not whole. But God can make me whole. We must come to our senses and realize that Jesus does care about us. We should never be scared to be used of God, though we are just fragments in this world. Just like the two small fishes, or just like the five loaves and the two small fishes when it was given to God. It became a lot more than five loaves and two fishes, didn't it? It became a lot. When you give your life to Jesus Christ and you serve Him wholeheartedly, He will do great and mighty things that He alone can do. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hey, you know, if that little boy would have passed up that day, it just would have been five loaves and two small fishes. If one of the disciples, although his faith wavered very quickly, wouldn't have said, hey, there's a lad here. Think about that. What if he wouldn't have did that? Can I say, never be scared to let God use you? Isaiah 41 and verse number 10 says this, fear thou not, we sang it this morning, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Aren't you thankful for the right hand of God? God never planned for us to live in fear. He wants us to live by faith and trust Him with all that we are and with all that we have. So why should I start gathering the fragments around me? Can I say this? Because Jesus never fails. Y'all know that? Why should I start gathering the fragments? What fragments? I'm talking about those fragments at work that you see every day that are broken. I'm talking about those students, those of you who are teachers, that God put in your life. They're just broken. They're just little fragments waiting for Jesus Christ to put all the pieces back together so that they can become whole just as you are. Hey, if Jesus cared about the fragments, why shouldn't we? Deuteronomy 31:6 says this, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Can I say this? Jesus never fails. The song goes like this, so many souls have tested Him throughout the course of time. So many still reach out to Him with broken hearts and minds. And every one of them will say, with no exception, that they find that Jesus never fails. Even in the days of old, He brought his people through. And then he came to show his love, and he died for me and you. And then he rose again to prove that every story has been true, that Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Listen, you might as well get thee behind me, Satan, you cannot prevail, because Jesus never fails. Goes on to say this, sometimes this world brings trouble I find so hard to bear. I know I could not make it without Jesus being there. It's so encouraging to know, however deep we're in despair, that Jesus never fails. So what can I do to prove to you? Tell me, how can you deny? No untold facts, no mysteries, it's all so cut and dry. On the witness stand of your life, I'll be the first to testify that Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan, you cannot prevail, because Jesus never fails. Folks, listen. Why should we gather those fragments? Because Jesus never fails. Because he cares about them. And hey, if he cares about them, why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we gather those fragments? Man, aren't you glad someone came by you one day when you were just a broken, worthless fragment, walking in sin, destined for a devil's hell, and someone reached down and said, hey, there's just a broken fragment right there. Son, you need Jesus. Young lady, you need the Lord. You were just a fragment. And with God, he can make you everything. Now you came from a fragment to seated together in Christ Jesus in heavenly places, more than conquerors, living a victorious life. Why should we care? Why should I gather the fragments? Because God is willing that none should perish. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You mean Jesus Christ doesn't want the lowest of the low, of the wicked to die and go to hell? No! He died for all their sins! Stop looking at them as worse than you! The only difference in them and you, those that we can judge because we know what they've done, the only difference is their sin has been revealed and yours has not. But be sure your sin will find you out. See, their sin has found them out. They're easy to point at. Hey, don't ever forget, Jesus didn't fail you. Jesus saved your rotten soul. Jesus saved my rotten soul. And he wants to save theirs as well. You say those men and women in prison that have hurt people and done awful things to people, Jesus loves them? Oh yes, more than you'll ever know. Jesus died for them too. Can I say, but by the grace of God, you're not in their seat? You know what they did? They made a bad choice. Amen? They made a bad choice. Their sin found them out. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hey, I'm for the justice system, bringing justice to people. But you better be thanking God that his justice system ain't how we think it ought to be. He took your sin, nailed it to a cross, and he didn't take it off of there. It died. Y'all with me? It's dead. We are more than conquerors. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned. The Bible says the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. Hey, a thief in the night comes by surprise. Now, it's no surprise that Jesus is coming. Everybody all right with that? But we'll not know when. No man knoweth the day or the hour in which the Son of Man shall come. Only the Father. Only the Father knows. But when he comes, it's going to be too late for you if you're lost. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice right now and you know not Christ, listen, if Jesus Christ were to return before you had another opportunity, you'd die and go to hell. Knowing that you did not have to. Everybody okay? The disciples' obedience in verse number 13, they gathered the fragments and realized Jesus had not only fed 5,000 men, but had been such a blessing as to make sure there were leftovers. How many like it when you have leftovers? Then you ain't got to cook the next day, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody's amen and now. Anytime we obey God, He's always in the surprising us business. I like it when God shows us things that we knew that we didn't even know were possible. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm sure you could go around and every one of us could tell a story about how this could only happen because God was in it. Hey, don't live on someone else's blessing. Create some of your own. Amen? How? By being obedient to God. Gather the fragments. It always amazes me just how faithful God really is when we just simply obey and give what we have to Him. God is so good. God is so good. In verse 14, we're almost done. We see the amazement of the men. Verse 14 says this, "Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, 'This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.'" Hey, they had no doubts that it was Jesus. You know, when we trust the Lord and by faith give our life to Him and give our substance to Him and give our just everything we have to Him, do you know that Jesus will always amaze people? Always. He's a real God. He's not some fake fairy tale that we just tell stories about. You know what I'm saying? I feel like a lot of us don't really fathom sometimes just the reality that it is a real thing that we are talking about. God is real. But how many of you have ever questioned His existence? Y'all with me? He's real. But how often do we get to a point where we literally question the existence of an Almighty God? Don't say you've never done it. Because every single one of us have had trials, tribulations, questions. God, are you serious? Are you actually real? Don't be too prideful as to say you've never been there. We all have. But can I say this? It didn't change anything about God. Because the Bible says He's the same today, yesterday, and what? Forever. See the amazement of the men. It sure would be good if we would be like the young boy in this story and just let Jesus have everything that we own. You think that little boy was hungry? If there were 5,000 hungry men sitting around and one little boy just walks by, I'm sure he was hungry. I'm sure he was. No matter if we think it's worth much or not, Jesus is always concerned and is in the business of taking little and making it much. You know, I can't wait to get to heaven. There's a few people on my list that I really hope that we can go visiting in heaven. Y'all know what I'm saying here? I ain't talking about door knocking soul winning. I ain't no need for that. I'm talking about I want to find out where Moses lives. Y'all with me? I got to meet Paul. And I definitely want to meet Peter because he reminds me of myself. But then there's this little boy right here that has always amazed me. I just want to ask him, what did you think the moment that they said there's a lad here? What was your thoughts? Because you know this story's real. This stuff really happened. What did you think when Jesus looked at you and said, "Son," I don't know how he said it, "give me your lunch or I'll kill you." I don't know what he said. These guys are hungry. We got to do something. You're the only one around here with anything. We don't have but 200 penny worth, and that ain't near enough. What did you think when Jesus looked at you and said, give me your five loaves and your two small fishes? Did you say, but my mom's going to be upset if I give my lunch away? What did you say? And how did you feel when Jesus lifted that lunch up and gave thanks and started passing it out and it just was like never ending? What was it like? See, all we can do is stand here in amazement and think about it. Imagine being there and watching the miracle. It just kept going and going and going like the Energizer Bunny. Just never stopped. And then once they were all full, he said, gather the what? That remain, that none be lost. Jesus has always been in the business of taking little and making it much. I like that song, Little is Much When God is in It. Y'all know that one? It goes like this. In the harvest field now ripened, there is work for all to do. Hark the Master's voice, it's calling to the harvest, calling you. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? Well, it's great if God is in it and He'll not forsake His own. Sing it with me. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. And when the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, He will say, if you've been faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Listen, we don't have a piano player in here, but that's okay. Listen.